Welcome to Fried. I'm your host, Kate Donovan. I work with leaders so they can see the patterns that are quietly hurting performance and burning out their best people. In my world, burnout is blameless, burnout is information, and burnout is a signal that we can use to improve workplaces. Seasons 1 through 10 focus on individual burnout. Seasons 11 and beyond focus on leadership, culture, and the workplace. This podcast will help you understand what burnout is pointing to and how to start fixing what's actually causing it. If this is a conversation you feel your organization should be having, that's the work I bring into teams through keynotes, workshops, and advisory. You can find all my info at katedonovan.com. That's CAITDONOVAN.com.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast.
Fried fam, the person that I'm bringing to you today is going to talk to us about something that a lot of you might have a limiting and or false belief that this thing that she's going to share is not available to you necessarily. And here's something that I need you to know after doing this work for over 10 years and talking to so many people who have gone through burnout and what their lives became after, is that there are a lot of things available to you that you are putting in an unavailable category. So today we have the joy and pleasure of talking to Ilana Golan, who is a Silicon Valley barrier breaker, from F-16 flight instructor and the first female commander in her squadron, to Intel's youngest hire at the time, tech executive, and now founder of Leap Academy, one of the fastest growing companies in America. Leap Academy is disrupting professional education as the only platform helping individuals build portfolio careers. Portfolio careers for the future of work. As the host of Leap Academy with Ilana Golan, she interviews leaders like Richard Branson, Gary Vee, and CEOs of billion-dollar companies. You might have heard of like a couple of them. A multi-award winner and global keynote speaker, Ilana speaks on resilience, reinvention, personal brand, and overcoming adversity, all things we love here at Fried. Ilana, welcome to the show.
Ah, thank you. It's such a pleasure being here on Fried. I can't wait to talk to you. Let's go.
So just before we got on, I said, Ilana, we're doing this like B2B thing now. I'm really focused on the business crowd. And you were like, yeah, okay. And I was like, yeah, but this work, this portfolio career idea is really more for individuals. And you said, well, no, not necessarily. So I'm really excited to have this conversation because I do believe that there are so many people that will listen to this original concept. So we're going to start with what is a portfolio career, right? Who are going to listen to this concept and say, that's not available to me. They're going to have a list of a host of different reasons, excuses, beliefs, all sorts of things that say they can't have this. And I can't wait to break that mold with you for them. So first and foremost, what the heck is a portfolio career?
Such a good question. So portfolio career is multiple streams of ventures or income streams. So it's not necessarily all about income. Sometimes this is the fastest path to bridging gaps, building reputation, authority, having fun, you know, volunteering to things that you care about. So it's not necessarily all about income, but it is becoming not just a paycheck, but the life that you want with the paycheck. And it's creating that life for yourself. And that's the most incredible thing on the planet. So I'm excited about it.
All right, let's break that down further. So what might an example of a portfolio career be? Because a lot of people, we're in this weird future of workspace, right? Where I think it was something like 75% of those under 20 said they wanted to be YouTube stars as their primary career, right? So we're in this world where, like, when I was growing up, you know, you had to find a company and stick with a company for 35 years, retire with a ring and like, or a watch and move on, right? And that's not true anymore. But also not everybody's going to be a YouTube star. So let's pick apart what it would actually, like, what would a portfolio career actually look like in real life?
Yeah. And let's take, for example, somebody who is employed right now and they have that stability and they have this corporate setting, which is, by the way, very comfortable. Don't leave if this is a good environment for you, right? But I'll say a few things about it. But let's assume you have a job and now you want to expand from there. So the first thing you want to kind of think, what do I want to be known for? And maybe you want to add some speaking opportunities. Maybe you want to add some advisory or mentorship in startup accelerators. Maybe you want to take some equity from a few founders and really learn how to think like a CEO. And maybe, you know, you want to now start adding like board seats because that's available. So, and some people, it's going to be more about coaching or consulting on the side. Like it really, really depends where you want to take this, but there's so much on the menu these days that I think people don't even realize. And that's what creates this incredible life that you want for yourself. But the thing about portfolio career, I will just say that, is that you don't want to throw spaghetti on the wall. You really want to almost like play chess, right? You want to think what it is that I'm trying to create for myself and what is the fastest way to get there. So if, for example, if you're in a job and you want to start being perceived as somebody that can sit in the C-suite, the biggest thing is to start thinking like C-suite, right? And you can't do that if you're not really working directly with people like founders of startups that really kind of make you think about all these things that they need to think about. And suddenly you're starting to think like C-suite. So you're even more appreciated at work, you get promotions, et cetera. And again, we can also look at examples of people who are, just have a business, right? And then they want to expand from there. So I'm going to take it wherever you want. But to me, it's almost about what else is available and what's the shortest path to get there.
So I'm going to sort of play devil's advocate because I can hear my listeners. I can hear them in my head and I know what they're saying. The one of the first things that they're saying two things right now. One of the first things that they're saying is I cannot, you know, be a paid keynote speaker and work for my company at the same time. My company will never allow it. So that's number one. Or I can't be a consultant. My company will never allow it. And the other thing that they're saying is, Ilana, I am burnt out. I have no energy. And now you want me to go pursue like a second career? Like I roll, like all the way to the ceiling and down, I roll, you know? So those two things are the things that I know people are pushing back against. As soon as they hear this, they're like, oh boy, oh boy. So how do we address both of those things? Let's start with you work at a company, you have a job, and there's not really a true opportunity for you to step outside that job and do outside work while you're working there. It's against your contract.
Well, good news and bad news. The good news is that I've been speaking to probably hundreds of top CEOs right now in all the biggest companies that you can think of in our Leap Academy podcast. So first of all, listeners, go check it out. It's actually incredible to hear. We talked to almost everyone I asked about portfolio career because I know this is the future of work. Even the co-founder of LinkedIn is already admitting that this is the future of work. So everybody's kind of admitting it. I think the only question is how does the corporate really handle it? So the truth is everybody knows that this exists. And when you talk to some of these biggest leaders, they all understand that portfolio is going to happen. What I will say is there are companies, and I will put this in brackets, that just don't allow it, right? Like there are specific corporations, Apple, consulting companies, et cetera, that you need to be a little more careful with. You're going to figure out your own legal. Don't take it as a legal advice. Pride is not a legal advice type. But I will say that even when it's not allowed, one of the beautiful things that we've done with people is through volunteering and through mentorship, we're able to create exactly the same thing in terms of authority, so that they get the experience, the authority, the reputation, the knowledge, the relationship, just as if they were paid. And the beautiful thing is you still get all the benefits and your company is okay with it and everything is fine. So you just don't get paid for it. But the truth is the biggest payment is your learning and your possibilities afterwards. So to me, that's the biggest thing. But I will say I've seen countless of times when somebody who was a director, for example, in a hardware company, you know, and just starting to like start starting to mentor in startup accelerators and starting to, you know, sit on some panels and maybe write some more publications and start being, you know, like, speaker in some places. Suddenly he was seen in a different way in his corporate world, and he started getting promoted. So I will say that it actually has a massive impact on how you're seen, how you're perceived, whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're in corporate. It is by far the shortest path to close gaps, to build authority, and to leap to the next thing. And you did also raise the burnout question. And I think that's going to be also important to say. So the burnout question is real. So the problem with portfolio career is not about throwing spaghetti on the wall and starting five things in parallel and hoping that it's going to work out. Okay, that's not the right way. This is like a classic way to burn yourself out and to live a miserable life. So that's not what we're trying to do. The whole idea of a portfolio career is, you know, there's a way to manage energy versus time. And when you manage energy, there's going to be actions, even if you're working really, really hard, but they're actually fulfilling you. You're happy, you're energized, you can do a lot more of it. And there's going to be the task that, you know, even if they don't take that much time, they just like, you're going to slog through them, you're going to procrastinate, you're going to do everything you can instead of doing that. And the idea is to get your life with the energy that you need in order to get yourself motivated and do a lot more in life, right? So the idea is not to suck your soul with a lot of things and just throw spaghetti on the wall, but it is about being encapsulating yourself, like getting like that energy, you know, that, you know, even packaging yourself, you know, and you know, like your expertise, your skills, your knowledge in a certain way. That's your IP, right? Now there's different vehicles in which you can push that knowledge and expertise, right? It could be to speaking, it could be to consulting, it could be to coaching, but it's the same IP, just different vehicles. And the beautiful thing is once you create that engine and you build that authority, suddenly, you know, there's a snowball effect and you can get more and more opportunities. But the idea is more like a chess game. You start with one, you stabilize that one, you're going to leap again, you're going to figure out, okay, what's next? What's my story accordingly? How do I open those doors? Great, you're going to do a mini leap and then you're going to do it again, right? So the idea is not to just randomly start five things in parallel, but really think strategic about what you're trying to accomplish and what are the mini leaps in order to get there. And you're going to continue like dialing down when it's too hard. You're going to dial up when you have more capacity, when you want to aim higher, and you're just going to play with it. But the beautiful thing is, and I think this is what your listeners need, they're going to be in the driver's seat of their career. It's not about what comes your way. It's not about what's going to fall in your lap. You're in the driver's seat. You're intentional. You're strategic. And you get to define the life that you're trying to live. So maybe that helps.
The thing that I'm thinking about is so frequently when we're burnt out, there's a lack of self-appreciation and self-evaluation, right? Like there's a, like, how could this happen to me? There's a lot of internal blame. There's some external blame sometimes too. And I'm wondering how easy it would be for someone to say, well, oh, I have these ideas. I have this concept. This is my IP. I've learned these things, right? So if somebody's in this place where they're like, I don't have any IP, I didn't think of anything. I just worked at this shit job for 12 years and now I'm stuck and like I'm burnt out. I'm tired. I can't think. I can barely get out of bed. I'm on leave because I can't function anymore. And now you want me to think about my IP? Like, what? Is there an easy way to start guiding people toward figuring out what lights them up, what sparks them, what their knowledge is and can be applied to, like the easiest possible way?
Oh, I love this question. Your questions are so good. I'll say a few things. First of all, I will just say, if somebody is feeling the way you just said, I'll first of all just recognize and say I've been there. So I was the burnout, flying every single week. I missed the first 5 years of my kid's life. And you know, if I may tell a little bit of a story here, you know, right when I was just like, my co-founder or a friend of mine came to me and said, hey, let's start a company together. And even though I was like so burned out and so tired and I couldn't even like, suddenly it gave me this like jolt of my energy, you know, like, oh my God, that sounds so cool. Let me do that. And, and we were working like nights and like weekends and like I was slugging on this thing and I was like so excited. And we did the Silicon Valley thing. You go to investors and you raise capital and, you know, here it was, there was like 800,000. They were evaluating our little baby at $5 million. Like it was insane. And I remember like looking at that term sheet, like, how did I get this lucky? Oh my God, this is amazing. And little did I know, and it's exactly the same day that that money hit the bank, I basically said goodbye to my VP role. You know, I was going to do this full time, you know, with this, with my startup. And within 24 hours, it was incredible to see, within 24 hours, I lost everything. Like my co-founder decided to take the money, throw me out of the business, and I was left with nothing. No job, no salary, no startup, no investment, and just shame and darkness and sense of worth that just went, you know, down the drain. And so first of all, you know, so not only that I missed the first 5 years of my kid's life, now there was all this shame around like, what did I do it all for? Right? Like now I don't have anything. Like, how did I let it happen? And I just wanted to tell that story because I think sometimes people listen to a story and they're like, oh, but you're built different. Well, no, I couldn't even dream. I don't even have the words for it. I was underwater trying to breathe and trying to figure out if and anything can help me get out of the situation. So first of all, I want the listeners, if they are feeling that, I want you to know that there is a path forward. And sometimes, you know, I do believe that the darkest moment comes before the sunrise. And the question for me is, what is your sunrise, right? There's a reason why I went through this, because the truth is my work was too comfortable. I would not have left it to start this. I would have continued staying in the same cloud data centers, blah, blah, blah. Like I needed that push to kick my ass, sorry for the language, and for me to start being really intentional about who am I and who is Ilana without the title? Who is Ilana without the company? Who is that identity? So I want to say a few things about that and go back to your beautiful question here. I hope this worked. The first thing is I did realize that many, many times, and your listeners might, you know, like feel the same. Our identity is so attached to the title, the company that we're with. We don't even know who we are without it. And in today's world, you can't afford to be only your title and only your company. There's nothing stable right now. Like there's going to be 92 million jobs that are going to be displaced in the next couple of years. Like nobody can afford to have their entire identity, first of all, just attached to a title. So first of all, I will say that. Now, what do you do when you can't breathe, right? Like, how do you get that mojo back? And I'll say a few things. So I remember the first time somebody told me to write down my dreams. And I actually got annoyed the heck out of this. Like, I'm like, stop asking me for a dream. Like, I just want my life back on track. Like, I can't even dream. But I will say to people who are listening to this, starting to hone on why this is important for you is actually one of the most important things that you should do for yourself, because that starts creating a lot of clarity of what am I even chasing? Because I think the hardest thing about, especially in today's world, I didn't even know what I want to do. Like, I didn't even know if I want a job, I want to start a company, or honestly, maybe I want revenge. And that was there. Like, that was on the menu, right? Like, what do I do? But the truth is, I think if you start getting intentional about your why and really start jotting this down, like, why are you doing what you're doing? What are you trying to accomplish? Like, if there's no time bound, if everything is possible, what kind of life are you trying to create? What kind of reputation are you trying to create? What kind of wealth are you trying to create? What kind of legacy are you trying to create? And first of all, it does help you start thinking about like things that make you successful and feel good. So even though you're not feeling great yet, but you're starting to see the things that make you feel good. And what does that look like? And the other thing I will say is that your community and who you surround yourself is everything. So if you're going to, first of all, we tend to hide. High achievers, when something is wrong, we hide, right? We hide from the world. I was the hider. Like I would put a smile and fake it. And then I would go and wake up at 3 a.m. and feel like a complete failure. So I think first of all, just in terms of like the community that you're with is really, really important. If you can find a community, I mean, for us in Leap Academy, the big thing was to find high achievers that are really, you know, really want to drive forward, create bigger things, but they're all in this together. They're all feel either burned out or sad or feeling like a failure and trying to figure out what's next for them, right? And the beautiful thing is when you surround yourself with a community that will help you, first of all, see that you're not alone, but also that there is a way forward. And suddenly when you're in this community and suddenly this person had a win and this person had a win, but just a few weeks ago, they sound exactly like you, it creates that connection of, okay, I can do this. Let me breathe for a second and somebody will hold my hand to this bridge of fear. And I think that's the big thing. So I would kind of tap on these two initially just to get your breathing.
It opens the door to possibility. And the if I look at my life today, right? So I'm a keynote speaker, I'm an author, I'm a podcast host. The majority of my work has been on burnout for the past 10 years. Now that that burnout has sort of grown and evolved into, you know, culture and leadership work because that's the natural progression of things. And somebody recently said to me, yeah, but like, you know, because my goal is to eradicate burnout. Let's end burnout culture completely. I don't actually believe that will happen, but I'm gonna go for it all the time. And somebody said to me, yeah, but wouldn't you be putting yourself out of a job? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. And they were like, well, what do you mean? And I said, yeah, but then I'll just do something else. Like I have so many skills. I've done so many things. I have all of these potentials around me that I can tap into if this disappears. Like I'm not worried about that. And I thought, and when I was reading about the portfolio careers on your website, and you said, one of the things that you said was that if and when you use a portfolio career style to create various income streams, then it gives you a different financial stability. So if one thing falls, you still have other things to fall back on. And I thought to myself, well, yeah, financial, it does give some financial stability and some financial resilience, but it also provides this like idea of more certainty in an uncertain time. Like you just said, we can't be attached to our identities and our job titles anymore because that shit is about to disappear. And it could be tomorrow. Like we have no idea what's going to happen. But if we spread out a little bit, if we spread out a portfolio career to me sounds like just spreading out a little bit and maybe not doing like 4 full-time jobs, but doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this and sort of piecing it together until you create a jigsaw puzzle that creates the life that you want out of the pieces. And there's just so much more resilience inherent in that.
Yeah. I love that you said that. So it is all about resilience. I will say a few things that I think are really important. So there's, in my mind, 3 most important skills in 2026, if that's okay to share. So if you look, first of all, at the whole metrics of success have changed. So and I don't remember if I heard it on Fried too. So maybe this is a repeat for some of your, you know, listeners, but if you look at kind of like a few like many, many decades ago, right. It was all about IQ, right? Like IQ was everything. Like you do this IQ test and maybe I'm aging myself here. Right. And like you either had high IQ or not. And then a few decades ago, it actually switched to EQ, right? Emotional intelligence. And I think Richard Branson was one of the first ones that said, you know, this is actually more important than IQ. And it gave a lot of green light to a lot of leaders and founders, et cetera. And if you're going to search for it today, it is all about AQ, adaptability quotients. So it is that the pace of change is so mind-blowing, just like what you said, right? It's so mind-blowing that in fact, if you don't adapt really, really quick to the pace of change, you will be left behind. So there is no stuck anymore. Like I remember when we started Leap, it was, you know, a lot of the professionals were about like, I feel stuck in my career. I'm not progressing. You know, I want more for myself. The truth is there is no stuck anymore. Like if you're not moving constantly forward, you're losing relevant at a pace we've never seen before. It's actually mind-blowing. So the very first thing is that adaptability quotient is just so, so, so critical. The other thing is because of AI, everybody sounds the same. Like, in fact, if you don't sound average, like if you're not even average, then you really don't have a shot. And then the gap just became so big between the people that will use AI and will not use AI, right? So first of all, the average, just everybody can sound like average. So how do you rise above the noise? How do you get the roles that you want? How do you get the clients that you want? How do you get the opportunities that you want when everybody sounds the same, right? And the third thing that I will just say, and it kind of types into what you said and it kind of wraps it all together, is that in this pace of change, when everything is so unstable, the only option is to become your own economy. And if you don't become your own economy, basically this category of one, you know, like a category king or queen or whatever, right? Like this category of one that you can wrap around, this is your IP, this is your engine, this is, you know, who you are, what you want to be known for, type of opportunities, how you rise above the noise. And this is aligned with opportunities that you create for yourself. And if you can create that and become your own economy, amazing. Like you are going to live an incredible life and it's going to be incredible resilient to whatever it is that we're going to go through. And if you have only this one thing and one identity and one reputation that is all attached to a company, it's insanely risky. Like we would never do that with our finances, right? Like we would never put all our eggs and all our money in one stock. Like that's just like insane. Why would we do that with our own, you know, livelihood? Like our career is the most important and the most expensive thing that we have in our life. Because whether we like it or not, you know, like the biggest cost in our life is the money we're not making, right? So this is the biggest thing, the most expensive thing. And we're willing to put all of it in one place. Like it's insanity.
Yeah. This idea of adaptability, I want to touch on a bit because the title of my first book was The Bounce Back Ability Factor and is adaptability and you know, whatever. The same. And agility was the popular thing about 10 years ago, right? Like agile was everywhere. And now, and we're not talking about it so directly anymore, but one of the things that makes us resilient and adaptable and agile is access to resources. And so now we go back to this part of the conversation where you were saying, A, have different things, B, have different people, right? Because those people are what allow you access to the resources. Like, I think for a long time, the gatekeepers were different. For a long time, there were the hierarchy of things was really strict. You couldn't get there without going here. You know, there were very strict rules about how to get in. Even so, I'm the current president of the National Speakers Association in New York City. And just before I joined NSA, there was a rule that said you had to make $25,000 speaking over the course of 12 months in order to join a chapter. And I did that because I thought that was still the rule. It was no longer the rule. I found out after I did it that that was no longer the rule. But I was glad that I did it anyway, because it gave me an underlying sense of belonging before I showed up. Like, this is the rule. This is the you know, payment for passage that you need to make. And there's not a lot of payment for passage anymore. You can join Leap Academy and be in rooms of CEOs. You can join NSA and be with the best speakers in the world. You can join, you know, there's so many places where you now have access to people that you would have never had. Even if you are not in a real community with these people, you can listen to their podcasts. You can, like, everything is accessible now. It's insane. So this idea of if you feel like you can't get yourself in a room with the people that you want to be in a room with, well, start reading their material and start listening to their podcasts.
Ah, so good. Mic drop. I mean, that's so, so true. And there's a, you know, there's a saying that you become the average of the people you surround yourself. Let me tell you, I didn't understand it in corporate. I have to admit, like, it was like, yeah, some kind of a cliche. Like, my life changed when I met Richard Branson, because he just showed me a whole different way of thinking. But yes, I needed to pay my way, you know, in the room. And it's okay to pay your way in the room, because I didn't buy myself enough credibility to be invited into the room yet, right? So it's like, you're going to need to do that first. You're going to need to give back. You're going to need to learn their things. You're going to need to read their books. You're going to need to buy their stuff and support their stuff. And eventually you might buy enough credibility to actually be invited as well. But yeah, I am a huge believer in buying yourself into the right rooms that will inspire you, that will build you. And the other thing that I'll say about, I loved your story. I think one of the things that people miss about portfolio career, when it's done right, it's not about just throwing like randomly things at the wall and hope that they're going to stick. What I love about also what you're doing, right? There's a theme, right? And what you're doing is you're only amplifying what I want to be known for. So for people who are listening to this, like really think about what it is that you want to be known for. And if you're not sure, you know, write back, you know, and tell us, because we have tools to give you and all of this, but, and all of them are free and they're on Instagram. Like you said, everything is so accessible. Like we have like all this engineered process of how you figure out what you want to do next. But once you figure out who you want to become and what do you want to be known for, what are the things that will create the snowball effect on your identity, on your authority? Because when you do that, then you can, you know, you have access to more important people and you can be paid more and you have ability to create more clients. And like, it's incredible to see what's possible when you do this. So I love that example, because you're the exact example of how you create a snowball versus things that are completely isolated. Oh, here I just want to be known for this. And here I just want to be known for this. And you know, so I think this is where it becomes really strong, when you can actually create a ripple effect and a snowball. And that's incredible.
When there's some sort of like combining factor. I was listening to your last podcast episode, which will not be your last podcast episode when we release this, but the man's name was Bill and I can't remember his last name.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things he said was something that we talk about a lot on the podcast. I talk about this because I learned this as breadcrumbs, follow the breadcrumbs. So when you're not sure where to go, you're not sure what to think about, you're not sure where you want to go, you look for that tiny spark of interest in anything, the thing that you are being drawn to read, the thing that you're being drawn to watch, the thing that you're being drawn. And he said something really similar. And he said that over his career path, he didn't always know that he was leading himself toward the next thing. But, you know, he was sort of tired with coding and he started reading tech magazines, or he started investment and venture capital, whatever it was, right? But this idea that like, you don't have to know where it's going to go, but you do have to follow the thing that's tugging at you.
Can you talk about that
a little bit?
Yeah, I love that. And yeah, he's a partner in, Benchmark Venture Capital. Like he's like a really famous venture capitalist. It was incredible to watch. But I will tap into what you just said, because success leaves clues, but we don't know where to look. And sometimes I will also say to people, a jar cannot read its own label. It's a lot easier for somebody on the outside to look at you and say, hey, you're actually like, you're so good at this. And many times you're getting these things and you just kind of shove them because for you, they sound normal, but these are actually hints for your zone of genius. So take a look at what the feedback you're getting, what people are intrigued by you, what people are coming to you for, especially if it's outside of work. That's a really big hint, right? Because people are already seeing something that, again, for you, it's like, oh, that's normal. That's not a big deal. So you're kind of pushing it away, but that is actually your hint that there's something here that you should actually explore. But I will say there's this myth about follow your passion, right? And the truth is, I do want to break this myth for a second, if that's okay, because you don't necessarily know that this is your passion yet because you didn't build enough evidence to prove that this is your passion. So again, when I left kind of my tech, corporate, cloud, data centers, you know, that world, and then, you know, went to entrepreneurship, and then, you know, I sold the company. So then I went to investment and all sort of things. So at that point, I kind of felt like almost like a badass, you know, like I'm this investor and I'm like so cool. And I come to these public speaking. And the last thing on my list was to basically create like a coaching company. You know, like I'm not a coach. I don't know anything about coaching. In fact, I didn't even like appreciate coaches, if I'm allowed to say that. Like I apologize in advance to all the coaches out there. I personally did not appreciate coaches because I felt like a lot of them didn't, you know, didn't inspire me or didn't come from where I've been or not where I want to go. And, you know, so for me, it was like, I don't know if I can lean on anyone. Now, coaching changed my life and different coaches changed my life. So obviously I changed my mind since then. But I will say that that identity, like I didn't know that I want to be, you know, again, perceived. Again, I don't call myself a coach. I call myself, like I hire the best coaches on the planet, but we actually are disrupting professional education and I needed like incredible coaches by my side to do it. I couldn't tell you that this would be my passion. You know, like there was no way that I had the certainty. I had enough conviction. I had enough pain in back in the days when I needed this to say, is there another crazy person that feels so lost and so, you know, so a fraction of who they could be? And if I can help just one person, I already had, you know, like, you know, my life is already better. And that's kind of how Leap started. You know, like I didn't know I'm going to build one of the fastest growing private companies. I didn't know it's going to be a success. I didn't know anything. And so I want also to people to don't compare your beginning to somebody else's middle or where their path looks like, because it was a very messy road, right? And there was like, nothing was clear. I had no clue if I want to do this. The first time I did like a public speaking around this to experiment, it actually flopped because let me tell the listeners, you like first time you're going to do anything, sorry, you're going to suck. You know, like, I'm sorry to say that. And the second time you're going to suck a little less. Like it sounds yeah. Like bad, but yeah. It's like my first podcast episodes, you can probably find it. It's like horrendous.
Mm-hmm,
like
mine too.
The camera looks horrible. Mm-hmm. The mic barely works. Mm-hmm. My editing is crap, but this is all I knew. But again, and to tell you that at that point, I knew that this is going to be a passion. Not really. Did I know that I'm going to get to talk to the biggest leaders of our time? No. Yeah. So I don't want you to kind of like think about what is my passion? What is my passion? Because that drove me nuts. Like I Googled everything. What is my passion? How can I find my zone of genius? How can I figure out what's next in my career? Like I kept looking for the signs and I was trying to like ultra engineer my life to figure out all the answers. And the truth is the clarity will come from action, not just thinking about it, not dreaming about it. So you don't have enough evidence to know there's going to be a passion. So the only thing you need to figure out is this worth an experiment? That's it.
All right. Let's just drop that question one more time. Is this worth an experiment?
That's it. Boom.
That's it.
That's it.
Right. Fried fam. There are so many of you that are hyper-independent perfectionists. And when you hear this, that you don't know what the end game is going to be, it makes you very, very nervous. No one knows what the end game is going to be. You don't have that even in a career anymore. We don't know what companies are still going to be alive in 5 years. We literally do not know. So if you are going to be in the uncertainty anyway, you might as well be in the uncertainty going toward something that's at least enticing or interesting or worth the experiment. I didn't know the same. Like when I started Fried, that I'd be doing it still 6, almost 7 years later. I didn't think this was a 7-year million download project. I remember thinking when I started Fried, it was May and June 2019. So I started a burnout podcast 9 months before a pandemic, like good timing, you know? And I remember thinking that if I ever got to 10,000 downloads, I would like shit myself with joy. And now, 10,000, it's kind of whatever. 10,000, I do that every couple of weeks. And the things that I've learned about this format along the way is that it's one of my favorite things that I've ever done. Right. And so, and yes, we shifted our focus in the beginning of the season. But here's the thing. When you own your own career portfolio, you can decide to do that.
Exactly. You are in charge. I love that. That's exactly it.
You can make that choice.
Yeah. And guess what? If you don't like it, you change again because it's all an experiment. That's what's beautiful about it. But I will say something for you, like when you started the podcast, and what I love about it is, you know, there's a myth about luck, right? And the truth is, yes, we all need luck, but the truth is, like, readiness plus opportunities create your own luck. Like, you were ready, you jumped an opportunity, and suddenly, yes, you were also lucky that, you know, COVID hit later, da-da-da-da-da, and there was, like, burnout and all the things. Like, so, but the truth is, you were ready, you took the chance. And I think that's another thing for people to kind of like, don't wait for that luck. Like, you're going to need to create your own luck. And that's how we do it. We just start experimenting different things and see what works.
Yeah. The podcast existed for 9 months before the luck showed up. See? And I don't deny. I also don't deny the luck, right? There's, I don't know if Fried would have been as popular without a pandemic. I don't know that. There was so much talk around burnout around the pandemic. It just was everywhere. So I have no idea what would have happened with Fried without that.
Right. But let me ask you, how many people would have continued for 9 months to wait to see what happens, right? So I think this is where I think a lot of people will just try for a few times and say, oh, this doesn't work. And I was this close. I did a keynote. It was horrible. Here we can talk about it. And I almost didn't continue going towards my dream just because of one thing. So I want also the listeners to think, are you bringing the data or the drama? And a lot of times we bring the drama around, like something that happened. I got a rejection. This didn't work. I tried this. It didn't work, whatever, versus the data. Okay. I tried once. It didn't work. I got one rejection. Somebody didn't like, well, you know, what is the actual data in all of this? Or did I create a monster out of it? And I personally almost created a monster so big that I almost didn't chase Leap Academy because I thought that I'm a complete failure. So I think also just to realize always at any given moment, are you creating a monster? You bring a lot of drama into the mix.
This is something that I go back to this podcast episode a lot. One that I did with a woman named Heather Hansen, who used to be a trial attorney. And she said that one of the lessons that she brings with her into the world of, you know, workplace culture and coaching, et cetera, is this concept of the fact that there's only one jury and there's two lawyers. And in your head, you're playing both lawyers, and both lawyers have access to the same discovery. So the data is the same for both sides. The story they are spinning with the data is different. So the thing that you are trying to convince yourself of also holds evidence of the opposite, always. So you can take any story from your life, take any set of data from any situation in your life, and you can spin a tale that says you're a failure, and you can make a jury believe you, and you can spin the same data, you can spin a story that says something else.
So too.
And the jury will believe you.
Yeah.
And
you want
I love
a story?
This
oh my
concept.
God, I have to share this. I have to share. Do you have a story?
Do I have a story about
no,
her?
No, can I share you a story?
Yes,
please. I think you're going to love it because I alluded to it, but I think your listeners might resonate because it's exactly what you just shared. So the very first experiment, I am a big believer in experimentation. It's actually something I learned from mentoring some of the biggest startup accelerators in the world. So after I sold my first company, I started mentoring in Google and Singularity University and all sort of like in Carnegie Mellon or whatever. And it was like so cool, right? And what I realized is the company do a lot of experimentation to see if it's a market fit. And for some reason, we don't do it in our career that much, right? We're expecting to find this like thing that will be fulfilling for the rest of our life. Like that's just not realistic. So I was like, why don't I bring this to the world of career? And but the thing that I think is worth sharing. So I wanted to experiment with this thing. So I volunteered to do a keynote because speaking is such a good way to experiment and see, like, do I like the message? Do I want? And now you don't even have to keynote. You just do a webinar or whatever, right? Like so easy. But at that point, I flew to LA. I was giving a keynote. And right when I came, and it was the first time I ever going to do about this new topic of mine. And suddenly, you know, the organizer was like, oh, and by the way, it's super exciting. The mayor of LA is sitting right at the front. And I'm like, like, do I really need to try this new message right when the mayor of LA is like looking at me? Like, can I like go back to my old, you know, keynotes? Or anyway, and I'm like battling with this and I'm deciding to just go on. Like I flew all the way just to try this. And my hook is really good. I know it's going to work. And within 3, 4, 5 minutes, the whole talk was supposed to be 12 minutes. Within 5 minutes, I'm seeing him on his phone. And I'm like, that's it. I butchered it. I killed it. It's never going to work. I ruined it. And now the audience would probably like, nobody would notice, but I literally ran away from stage. Like this was so embarrassing. Like I finished what I had to say in like 7 minutes and I ran away from stage and I said, I'm never going to do this again. I hate this. I hate this topic. I flew back. I had this pit in my stomach, seriously, for 2 weeks. Like I couldn't breathe. I was sad. I was crying. I was like, how did I make it happen? How did I make a fool out of myself? And thank God, like I didn't completely give up. Like a few months later, I was invited to another keynote. And I was like, I'm going to try this one more time. I know I butchered it, but I'm going to try it one more time. And it was so funny. So a few months later, I already started Leap and I'm getting this random phone call. And it says, hi, we're talking from the office of the mayor of LA. We wanted to add, like the mayor actually asked me to call you for a keynote. He was very impressed. He was writing me, you know, and sending me your information right when you were on stage in LA so that we can invite you in the future. And, you know, what I want people to understand, like I literally, I'm not exaggerating. I almost didn't follow this dream. Just because of that story in my head, because I was sure that I completely killed it. Now, even if I did, it shouldn't matter. But the truth is I created a whole monster. I almost didn't sleep at night for 2 weeks only because one person looked at his phone. That was the only data that was interesting. And like you said, I could have spent it anywhere I wanted. It didn't even cross my mind that he was like messaging somebody to invite me to a keynote. I decided that he lost interest and therefore, hence, all the hundreds of people lost interest and hence, I need to run away from stage and never do this again. Like, anyway, so I think this is humiliating enough to share.
I think, for anybody that's a speaker that's listening, and I know I have a large speaker audience because I'm in the speaker world, we have all felt that same exact thing, every single one of us. I once had a group that was virtual, and a lot of times I have like a pretty significant amount of interaction, and I like going into the chat, and I like bringing things in. It's enjoyable for me. And so I'm sitting there, and like, there is nothing going on. And I'm like, I'm talking at the wall. I'm talking to myself. I'm starting to get red. And as a speaker, as soon as you start thinking about yourself instead of your participants, you're losing and I know that that's happening. I can feel it happening. And I was like, all right, guys, before I continue, I just want to do a quick check-in where everybody is at, because I feel like I'm losing you and I'm not sure. I get a message right away that says, Kate, please don't be dismayed by the fact that we're not saying anything. A lot of us are in a conference room together and we are so taken by what you're saying that we don't even know how to react yet. Meanwhile, I was like, they hate me. They hate my glasses. They hate my lipstick. Everything is, everything I say is stupid.
So true. So true. Oh my God, Kate, I love this story.
We all do this to ourselves. So we're going to come all the way back around to Career Portfolio, Leap Academy, let you share a little bit about that. But I want to see if I understand this well for people. So a career portfolio is one where you're in the driver's seat, first and foremost. So like you're in control. You are not doing necessarily just like one full-time job and then going after it. You might have a full-time job, but you likely have something that you're doing either within that job or without that job that is interesting to you, that's expanding your capacity and introducing you to new people, new things, new ideas. So for instance, a very good friend of mine was working at Google for a long time. He decided he wanted to start keynote speaking. He couldn't keynote speak outside of Google at the time. That wasn't really okay. But he was able to take speaking roles from as Google. So he wouldn't get paid directly for speaking, but he was able to get on a lot of big stages because he was at Google, and then used that later to help launch his career, right? So he was within his career, was finding ways to expand his work. So this is like a good example of a portfolio, like the beginning of a portfolio space, right?
Brilliant. So yes.
The idea is that maybe we have a couple of different sort of lanes that have some sort of overriding theme connection, red thread that connects them, but are different ways of finding fulfillment, different ways of finding income, different ways of meeting people, different ways of expressing ourselves that all we pull together in a portfolio.
Yeah.
You
said it perfectly. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's basically, the way I look at it, there's four different types of portfolios.
Okay.
So if people really want to categorize them. So one of them is the typical income related, right? So if you can, you know, whether you have a job or you have a business and now on the side, you start something else, right? Coaching, consulting, fractional roles, paid speaking, investments, paid boards, like it could be all sort of things. The next one is kind of more reputation related. So it's not necessarily going to boil down to income, but it's going to elevate the way you are perceived. Because again, the way you're, you know, perceived to be treated, like that's how your authority works, right? So that can be things like mentorship in startup accelerators. It could be to teach you how to take some equity from startup, from advising. It can be non-paid boards. It could be volunteering to mentor in all sort of capacities. It could be, you know, groups and communities and all sort of related work, speaking that is not paid, et cetera. So everything, panels, keynotes, workshop, I can go on and on, right? Like it's all sort of things that are just building that level of authority. And then you can always ripple from there because when the authority is higher, you can open more doors. You can then charge more. You can like, it always comes back around. The third type is more gap closer. So the way I look at it, especially for people that want to reinvent themselves, we use it a lot. So people like in corporate that suddenly want to be coaches or corporate that want to jump to a new industry or corporate that have been directors and now want to jump to VP C-suite, right? Like, so how do we take them there? What we do is we look for the gaps and we basically say, okay, how can we close the gap as fast as possible? Because guess what? It's not about credentials now. It's not about going back to an MBA. It's not about learning more. It's about how fast can you experiment and again, experience. So how do we gain experience in the fastest way possible in order to close that gap so that you have a new story to tell and you get those opportunities? And this is how we saw people that were directors and suddenly landed CEO roles. And we, you know, we saw people that were making $25 an hour and suddenly they land in Accenture for $200,000 an hour. And, you know, people that moved to create their own businesses or board seats or advisory, et cetera. So that's kind of how we close those gaps. And the last piece is that I do add that, although it's not a classic venture, but it is more like around fun experiences. I do believe that sometimes as high achievers, this is the last thing we put on our thing. And I do believe that again, it's kind of boiled down to, you know, managing your energy. Like if you can create a life that energizes you and not burns you out, speaking of Kate, right? Like it doesn't like suck your soul. Like you actually are more productive in the overall, right? And it could be vacations with the kids. For me also, it's like, I don't know, I'm going to be with Richard Branson, I don't know, doing adventures in Iceland, right? Like, or cycling in India that I went with him a few weeks ago or a few months ago. So for me, it's like these things that just energize me in a whole different way. And I do believe in putting them on your calendar is another type of venture that just, you know, it's more the fun experiences. This is what's important for me as a person. So that's kind of how I look at them. And then when you can create a little bit of each, and by the way, it's not all going to be all the time. Like, you know, from time to time when I'm really busy, I'm going to cut loose some of the things that are not, I shouldn't say yes to. I'm going to focus for a second. I'm going to grow and then I'm going to expand. And again, when I do expand, I will try to see how I create a snowball effect, just like we do with Leap, right? Because we have the Leap Academy, we have the podcast, right? The Leap Academy for me, it's how to change thousands of lives. And, you know, people who are driven and now can create the life that they want, then build this portfolio and revenue generating businesses and see, you know, advising and in boards, et cetera. But, you know, I can't help millions of people. And we're going to see a cliff where tens of millions of people need to reinvent themselves. So that's why the Leap Academy podcast is for, so that you have blueprints for some of the biggest leaders of our time and how they did, you know, all sort of, you know, path in their own career. And you can kind of follow their path, right? So for me, it's a, and then there's a book in the making and it's really cool and it's coming. And it's like, so for me, that's part of my portfolio. Yeah. But on the other hand, I said no to a lot of board seats and advisory right now because I just don't have the capacity. So it's also okay. I think when you're in the driver's seat, it's really about knowing what to say yes to and what to say no to, which is the most important piece. That's that's freedom.
Yeah. And being able to do it, right? The being able to say the yes and say the no is the freedom part. And I think this is something that I think people have a hard time with, that capacity expands and contracts in different phases of life and that that's okay. And I think this is one of the big problems in the world of burnout, that we expect to be able to go to work, have children, have aging parents, and be able to maintain the same productivity the whole entire time. And like, that shit just ain't real. Like, that's just not real life. And so like right now, we had a big shift in my business in January. So that led to, I have to build a new website. I was in the middle of writing a book. I'm still the president of NSA until June. The book is due in May. There's like all of these things that have to happen right now, which means networking calls. I'm like, no, thank you. Like I would love to talk to you in like July.
Yeah, but that's a fair answer, right? I mean, right?
And you have to know where those, when you start to feel yourself contract, you have to allow yourself to pull away from the things that are distracting you from the things that you really actually want to focus on right now.
Yeah. And maybe one more tool that maybe your listeners can, you know, can get benefit from, because it really, really helped me try to figure out what's next and kind of like, because again, there's this myth that you can have it all. And the truth is you can have it all, just not at the same time. So I don't believe that you can have it all. So you just need to decide all what, right? Like, what do you want right now? And different life phases will need different things from you. And you're going to need different things from life, right? So the question is, what's right for you? And the way I look at it is almost like a square. And, you know, on one side, there's like finance, right? Like sometimes all you need is cash. Right. Whether because you need the money, it gives you confidence. I needed to make more than my husband. It really doesn't matter. You need put focus on cash. Right. Sometimes it's more about growth. Like I want to learn new things. I want exposure to new things. I'm done stagnating. I'm done. Like when when I had my second baby, I was just like, I'm done. I'm done compromising my time, Ilana's time. Let's go. Right. And at that point, it was like, whether it's like about more responsibility or titles or fame, it doesn't matter what it is for you, but you want to focus on the more, right? And sometimes it's more about impact. Like I want to feel like I move the needle, like whether it's in a company or society in the world, it doesn't matter. Like I need to feel that meaning and you know, and impact. And sometimes it's more about balance. Like I just need sanity. Like I want to travel. I want freedom. Like, I want to, you know, my own things, like I'm done burning out, right? And this is the phase of my life, even if I need to compromise on other things, right? And the truth is, it's interesting. If you're going to look back in your career, you always kind of roam around two of these. It's actually fascinating. And two of them are taking a back seat, right? You're taking like a new role and you're like energized. So there's like finance and there's growth. And then slowly, you know, you kind of like settle into it, right? So suddenly it becomes like finance is good. The impact is good, but you're not growing as much. And, you know, or it's voice of balance or whatever. So you're going to roam around two of these all your life. And for me, the biggest thing is like right now, the moment I'm now, don't look 40 years because it's going to change to a zillion times now. It's going to change actually every year or two. So right now, in the moment I'm now, what's really critical for you, and choose the two and realize that you're okay with compromising on the other two. And that really helps you decide what to say yes to, what to say no to, and kind of how, you know, to be more intentional. I don't know, Kate,
I love
maybe
that framework.
Helps.
I love that. So this is the kind of thing then, this leads perfectly into, this is the kind of thing that you would teach at Leap Academy.
Yeah.
So tell people more about what Leap Academy is, how they can find out more, where they should look for you online and all the good things.
Thank you, Kate. This is such a fun conversation. I hope people got a ton of value. And again, I look at every single comment. So comment wherever you see this and let us know or send us an email. I'm Ilana, I-L-A-N-A at leapacademy.com. I would love to hear from you, first of all. The other thing, we help driven professionals basically reinvent, leap their careers, create their portfolio careers, whether they want to land a job or they want to kind of go to promotions or they want to start a business, no matter what they want, I want them to start creating a portfolio, start designing a portfolio and becoming their own economy so that they're going to build this massive authority and opportunities will come their way. So if you are looking to do more in your life or creating more influence and impact and income and all of that good stuff, reach out. So we're at leapacademy.com. It's L-E-A-P academy.com. And again, we have free trainings and we have free strategy calls and we have 360, you know, like a career 360 analysis that you can kind of do for yourself. We have a ton of free resources and we have the free podcast. Again, I'm here to change 10 million lives. So a lot of it is free. And if, you know, somebody does want to go faster and higher and create like a $1 million company and, you know, like, and start creating their own like mega portfolio. We do have people in our Millionaires Club to kind of take themselves to the next level. It's really fun.
I love it so much.
Thank you, Kate.
Fried fam. I want today to serve as a reminder that what you may consider possible might just be a small sliver of what is actually and truly available to you. This is true if you are an individual contributor. It's true if you're a leader. It's true if you're an entrepreneur. It's true if you're a mother. It's true if you're a father. It's true no matter what. It's true. What you believe to be possible for you is very likely just a small sliver of what is actually available to you in 2026 and moving forward. The world is different than the world we grew up in, folks. Things are different. More is available. And the Leap Academy and Ilana might just be one of the ways that you use to figure out what's coming next. Ilana, thank you so much.
Oh, Kate, you're an incredible interviewer. Seriously, like so much value to your listeners. Like I'm jealous at you guys, Fried. Like so good.
Oh, amazing, thank you, Kate. So much. All right, Fried fam. We'll see you next time. Welcome to Fried. I'm your host, Kate Donovan. I work with leaders so they can see the patterns that are quietly hurting performance and burning out their best people. In my world, burnout is blameless. Burnout is information. And burnout is a signal that we can use to improve workplaces. Seasons 1 through 10 focus on individual burnout. Seasons 11 and beyond focus on leadership, culture, and the workplace. This podcast will help you understand what burnout is pointing to and how to start fixing what's actually causing it. If this is a conversation you feel your organization should be having, that's the work I bring into teams through keynotes, workshops, and advisory. You can find all my info at katedonovan.com. That's CAITDONOVAN.com.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast.